Hey everybody, this is Keith, your host, and we have another great show today. It's going to be one from
Our Amos and Andy Double Features.
Well, thank you very much.
First up, Amos meets his lawyer, June 28, 1929.
Well, I don't know who that is. I hope ain't nothing else going wrong. Hello? This is Amos talking. Who? Earl Dixon. What you doing calling me up? Well, I don't want to talk to you. You want to let me know what? That you going to get me? Well, let me tell you something. If you ever call me a jailbird again or open your mouth about me, I'm going to get you, you hear me? I'll knock you down again, you hear that? But all right, try to get me. I ain't bothering you. I don't want to talk to you. You just keep your big mouth off of me, that's all. Well, come on, get me then.
What's going on around here? What's going on around
well,
here?
Well, I'm telling you right now, Dixon, to keep your mouth off of me. And if you ever see me coming down the street again, one of us better get on the other side of the street, I'll tell you that much. And don't call me up no more. Now, that's enough.
That's the stuff. That's the stuff. Hang up on him. What'd he do? What's he talking about?
I didn't tell you what done happened, did it?
No, what done happened?
Well, I was coming down the street, and Earl Dixon walked over, and I didn't want to stop, but he made me stop, you see.
What did he say to you?
He wanted to know what Ruby Taylor thought about me. And I said to him, I said, what do you mean, what you think about me? And then he said to me, he said, what does you think about a jailbird?
He called you a jailbird, huh? What'd you do?
I hauled off and hit him in the jaw. That's what I've done. I knocked him right down.
Good for you, Amos. I'm glad to hear.
Now he called me up here, say he gonna get me. That's what they say on the telephone, you see.
That's what he's talking about on the phone, huh?
Yeah, he told me that he was gonna get me. For what I done to him. I don't want to fight, boy, but I couldn't help but hit him in the jaw, I tell you that much.
Listen, Amos, don't worry about that guy Earl Dixon. He gonna get his sooner or later.
If he jump on me when I ain't looking, I gonna get myself a rock or something and I knock his head off. That's what I gonna do with him.
If he come over here and start messing with you, I'm gonna throw him out here myself. Because I don't like him none.
What did you find out, Andy?
Well, the Kingfish is on his way over here now with the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Be here in a few minutes, he says.
Who is the lawyer?
Some fellow by the name of Wagner.
Is he going to get me out of this here mess, Andy?
Well, the Kingfish say that he's a good lawyer.
Well, suppose the judge say that I was guilty, though. What is he going to do then?
Let him repeal.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to me while he's peeling?
Well, you is out, ain't you?
Yeah, but I'm afraid I'm going back there. That's what's worrying me.
Listen, Amos. We ain't going to depend on a lawyer by ourselves. I'm going to work on the case, too, you know.
Well, I hope this here lawyer can do something for me. Mm.
The Kingfish say that he is one of the greatest lawyers down at the lodge.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, once before the lodge was arrested for serving some strong beer or something.
What do you mean, strong beer?
Well, the Kingfish say that before he went into the lodge, they had some strong beer down there that was against the law. And the prohibition officers come down and arrested him. And this lawyer, Wagner, got him out of it by proving to the governor that the beer got into place by mistake or something. I don't know, something like that.
Another thing, how much is this lawyer going to charge?
He got to have $50 before he starts.
He got to have $50, huh?
Yeah.
Where he going to get the $50?
He got the money. Don't worry about the $50. He already got it.
Well, where did he get it?
I don't know where he got it, Amos. What you worrying about? What difference do it make?
Well, you say he done been paid the money, huh?
I done told you that he got the $50, so don't argue about it.
Well, where did he get the money? Who done paid it? You ain't paid it, did you?
You know I ain't got no $50 to be paying nobody. You know that.
Well, tell me who paid him the $50, will you? Wait a minute.
Answer the telephone there now and shut up.
Hello? Oh, hello, Sylvester. How are you? I'm pretty good, thank you. Yeah, I'm glad to be up too, Sylvester. Oh, yeah, I guess everything will come out all right. I don't know, though. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I hope so. Don't forget to thank your mama for that chicken that you sent to me when I was in jail, will you? Tell her that I'll thank her the first time I get a chance to get by to see her, will you?
Tell his mama that I like chicken, too. I ain't got to be in jail to eat chicken. I could eat it anywhere.
Well, you tell her that I'll be by to see her in a day or two anyway, Sylvester. Well, I don't know. The trial ought to come up in the next few days, I guess.
Tell him that me and another lawyer are going to work on it.
Oh, yeah, I got a lawyer already.
Don't forget to tell him that I was going to work on it, too.
Yeah, I done see Ruby. Yeah, she was just as nice as you can be, Bubby. She knows that I didn't do it. Well, all right, Sylvester. Thank you for calling. All right, I drop by the first chance I get. All right, Sylvester. Goodbye.
Sylvester's all right, ain't he?
Oh, Sylvester's a nice boy, Andy. You know it?
You know, he called me up 2 or 3 times every day while you was in jail, wanting to know how you was getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to know if it was anything that he could do for you.
Oh, he's nice boy. Everybody been just as nice about this as they could be.
Yeah. There ain't but one thing wrong right now.
What's that?
We ain't making no money, and the police is holding the taxicab for Evelyn.
Yeah, they say they gotta hold the taxicab.
Well, why has they gotta hold the taxicab? We gotta make a living, ain't we?
Yeah, you see, though, them men that was robbing the store put them fur coats in the back of the taxicab, so when the police come and see the fur coats in there, that's what made them think that I was robbing the place myself, you see.
Yeah.
So they gotta hold the taxicab till the trial come up. That's the way I guess it.
Well, can't we get a Happus Kappus or something and get that taxicab so we can make some money?
I wish we could get it. I wish we could. We need some money, all right.
Here I is, flat broke, and we ain't taking in nothing.
Well, I done saved up a few dollars that I was saving for Reuben, saving trying to get married, you see. And if you're flat broke, I can let you have a few dollars so we can make some money.
Wait a minute. Here come the Kingfish and the lawyer. Here they come. Come in, Kingfish, come in.
Well, hello, Brother Amos, Brother Andy.
Hello, how is you?
Brother Andy, boys, I want you to meet one of the finest lawyers that we got in the lodge here. This is Brother Amos Jones, this is Lawyer Wagner.
I'm glad to meet you, Lawyer Wagner.
I'm glad to know you, sir.
And Lawyer Wagner, this is another one of our officers here, Brother Andrew Brown, Lawyer Wagner.
Yes, sir. I was pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm glad to know you, Mr. Brown.
Sit down, Brother Wagner.
Sit right down here. We ain't got but one chair, Brother Wagner. The rest of us can sit on the box here or sit on the desk or something.
Yeah, I was a little short of chairs this week.
Well, Mr. Wagner here is, he ain't active in the lodge like he used to be, but a few years ago, he used to be active in the Mystic Knights of the Sea. He is going to take a hold of the case here. So, Brother Wagner, you go right ahead and start with Amos.
Well, Mr. Jones, I'm here to help you.
Yes, sir, I certainly am glad to hear you say that, because I'm going to need a lot of help in this here thing, Mr. Wagner.
Well, we're going to do everything we can for you. Now, Mr. Jones, how did you happen to get arrested and charged with robbery?
Well, I tell you, Mr. Wagner, it was like this. One night I got a phone call to bring the taxi there.
Wow, that was a classic. If these old classic shows are the thing that really appeals to you,
especially shows from the 1920s and early 1930s,
you can find more like this at Radio Journeys and can be found at journeys.libsyn.net. Is that right?
.com, not .net.
Okay. So visit them and find out more. And now, here's another feature.
Matrimonial Mishap, November 12, 1943.
Good evening. The makers of the new Rinso bring you the Amos and Andy Show with their guest tonight, the star of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, a guy named Joe, Mr. Lionel Barrymore. Our story opens tonight, not with Amos, nor with Andy, but with one of their friends, George Kingfish Stevens. The scene is in his office at the Lodge Hall. He's been thinking of how to raise some money to pay some of his personal bills. A stranger is coming into the office.
What can I do for you, miss?
My name is Juliet Williams.
Yeah, never heard of you. What you want?
Never heard of me? Well, I spoke to you this morning on the phone.
You got me mixed up with somebody else. Sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to get out now, because I got a lot of reporting things on my mind.
Well, don't you remember? I told you over the phone that I was going to the bank and get the money for you.
Look, I ain't got time for... Sit down, madam. Sit down.
Well, I hope I ain't got the wrong address. Is this West 135th Street, or is this East 135th Street?
Well, which one was it you wanted?
Well, I wanted West 135th Street.
Oh, this is West. The sun sets right on that window there every day.
Oh, well, then, I'm in the right place.
Yeah, you is.
Oh, well, I guess you're just so busy these days that you forgot about my call.
Yeah, that's with the war going on, all my head jammed up and all that.
Oh, yes. Well, now I got the fee I'm to pay you. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did you say it would be $5 or $10?
$10. I didn't forget that. $10.
Well, now, the balance of the money I'm going to have to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say the whole thing would sum up to?
Well, it won't be too high, and of course it won't be too low, sort of in that neighborhood someplace.
Well, I figured it would be $50.
You hit the right neighborhood.
Well, that would leave a $40 balance. Now, when do I have to pay you this?
Well, right now would be good.
Well, I'm certainly not going to pay you the balance until you show me some results. Now, just exactly what is this $50 going to include?
Well, tell me what you think that it ought to include. I won't be fair about the thing, you know.
Well, my cousin came to one of these matrimonial agencies once.
A matrimonial agency, huh? She did, yeah.
My cousin said that the $10 deposit covered the introduction to the man, and she paid the balance of the $40 after the wedding.
You want to get married, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
In other words, if I find you a husband, I get the other $40.
That's right. Now, tell me. Do you have any legible bachelors in mind? That's my type.
Let me think here a second. I want to kind of go over the list I got in mind here. You want a single man, don't you?
Well, I want a man a little older than myself that'll make a good husband.
A good husband. Madam, I think I got just a man for you.
Well, what's his name?
His name is Andrew Hogg Brown.
Well, is he the marrying type?
Well, he's been kind of null and void in the idea, kind of skirting around the edge a little. But don't worry, the Stevens Matrimonial Bureau has always got ways of outskirting them fellas.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be able to swing him around, all right, so don't worry. Lady, we always lands our man.
Well, that's very encouraging.
I tell you what you do. I want you to come back here at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Now, look here. You pretend that you're going to be my new secretary. I'll have the man here, and in that way, you see, I'll give you what we call the preview of him.
Okay. I'll be here at 4:30 tomorrow.
Oh, and another thing. Let me warn you that when you see him, you have got to make up your mind fast if he wants a husband. Because bachelors is going like hotcakes these days. I just can't keep him in stock. Amos, the reason I dropped over here to your flat to see you about the thing that I requested with you over the phone about, you see?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I think that our friend Andy ought to get married.
Well, you know, Kingfish, since you talked to me about it, me and Ruby have been thinking it over. We both feel that it would be a good thing if Andy'd get married and settle down.
Well, now look here, Amos. All of his friends is married. And why can't Andy be in the same mess? I mean, the same happiness that he is.
It would be good for him, all right.
Well, now, listen, Amos. You is his closest friend. Why don't you have a heart-to-heart talk with him? It's for his own good.
All right, Kingfish. I'll talk to him about it.
But, Amos, what business has I got to take on the responsibilities of a wife?
Well, Andy, it ain't only the responsibilities. There's a lot more to it than that. It's companionship and sociability.
Cheers, huh?
Yeah, after all, what do you do with yourself? For instance, in the evening, you go over to the pool room by yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but if you was a married man, you'd go out with your wife.
Yeah, but how does I know I'm going to marry a gal that can shoot pool?
I just don't understand you, Andy. You always think of marriage like you were stepping off a high cliff. Marriage makes life easy for you. A wife takes care of you. She keeps a nice house for you. She waits on you when you were sick, and she cheers you up when you was down in the dumps.
Yeah, but when does that fur coat stuff begin?
Oh, Andy, all wives ain't that way. I've been married to Ruby for years, and I ain't had to buy her a fur coat yet.
Well, you just got a break. Be just my luck to marry the coldest gal in Harlem. I still think being single is the best.
No, Andy, married life is the only thing.
Listen, Amos, a wife is all right for a married man, but not for me. Well, I got your message yesterday to come over here, Kingfish. What you want to see me about? You got a new business?
Oh, Brother Andy, I got a little something I'm working on.
Oh, you is, huh? Any chance of me getting in on it, partner dear?
Yes, Andy, I see there's a very good chance of you getting in on it. But not the chance of subject. It just occurred to me here, Andy, is you ever thought of getting married?
Sure I thought of it. That's why I never got married. Listen here, Amos asked me that same question this morning. What is this, marriage week?
No. I guess your friends have just got you on the mind, you know, trying to help you. We hate to see you ruining your life as a bachelor.
Yeah, well, forget it. Because even if I did want to get married, I ain't got no gal to marry.
Oh, there must be somebody that you can marry. Let's think a second. Let's pick a name out of the thin air. Here's a name floating around in the thin air already.
Yeah,
the nameless Juliet Williams just hit me in the head. The girl is going to be my new secretary.
Oh, I didn't know you was going to get a secretary. Anyway, I don't want to get married no how.
Oh, maybe I ain't had no business mentioning Miss Williams' name in the first place. The reason that she is going to work here for me is just to, give her something to do during the day, you see. No, she wouldn't be right. A marriage never works out right when a wife has got a lot of money of her own.
No, marriage what is that?
I say it wouldn't work out, and let's change the subject.
Well, as long as we're on the subject, ain't no use in going to all the trouble of changing.
Oh, you wouldn't be interested in her. Why would you want to marry a gal like her with a lot of money?
Well...
Oh, that would be awful, Andy. Marry a woman with a lot of dough... Yeah, she's going to be too proud to let her husband work. You couldn't stand that, Andy.
Well, I can force myself, maybe.
Oh, you'd be married to a woman there. She'd go out and buy everything you need for the house, always buying your clothes, automobile. You don't want that. No, I tell you, Andy. Come in, Miss Williams, come in.
Oh, hi, Mr. Stevens.
Andy, this is my secretary, Miss Williams.
Hello. Yeah, nice to meet you, too. Here, take this chair. This is a nice soft one.
Oh, thank you.
It's a little warm in here. Wouldn't you like to take off your pocketbook? I mean, your coat.
I wonder if you folks will excuse me. I got some things to tend to. I'll be back.
Yeah, go right ahead, Kingfish. Excuse me, Miss Williams. You mind if I skip right over to Juliet's stuff and call you honey?
Well, I don't know you very well, but I suppose it'd be all right.
And would you mind if I skip right over to Ain't You Cute stuff and told you that I was crazy about you?
Oh, that sure sounds nice, all right. But I hardly know you, Mr. Brown. Tell me, what business you in?
Let's skip that, too. listen, honey, what did you do this afternoon?
Oh, I ain't got no plans at all.
Oh, boy, that's swell. Look, it's such a beautiful day out. Let's me and you take a walk together and drop into your bank and meet some of the fellas.
What's the matter, Andy?
Oh, it's just no use, Amos. I spent the whole afternoon and evening with that gal, Juliet, and when it was all over, I knowed I couldn't marry her.
Hey, well, what happened to change your mind?
Well, just between the two of us, Amos, sometimes I lose confidence in myself, you know what? One time I think, yeah, I will get married, and the next time, no.
Uh-huh.
Every time I think about it, my head starts swimming round.
You know, you ought to go to see some doctor that does just that kind of thing with your head.
Hmm, what kind of doctor is that?
I think they call him a psychiatrist or something like that.
Yeah, but where could I find one of them psychiatrists?
Well, there ought to be a lot of them in the city. I tell you what, maybe we could find one here in the classified telephone book. I don't know how to spell it, though.
Well, look under the S's. You're bound to hit it there.
As we join the boys now, we find Andy just entering the office of a psychiatrist.
Mr. Brown, Dr. Barrymore's ready to see you.
He is, huh? Well, I can come back some other time if he's busy.
Oh, no. Please come in now, Mr. Brown. Step this way.
Yes, ma'am.
Come in, Mr. Brown.
You want me to take off my shirt?
No, there'll be no need for that. I don't examine the body, I examine the mind.
Oh. Well, then I'll just take off my hat.
Sit down. Tell me, Mr. Brown, is this your first visit to a psychiatrist?
Yes, sir.
Well, then, you may or may not know just what psychiatry is. It's a method of analyzing the content and mechanism of a person's mental life for the purpose of psychotherapy.
That's what I figured it was, yes.
What is your mental trouble, Mr. Brown?
Close as I can figure the thing out, it might be that I is getting scared of getting married.
Ah, that makes it pretty obvious, then, that you have a fear of the opposite sex. But, of course, we must find the cause before we can find the cure.
Yes, sir.
Now, a phobia such as yours, a fear of women, very often dates back to childhood.
Oh, no, sir, doctor. You're on the wrong track there. I never run around with women when I was a child.
I didn't mean that. What I'm trying to find out is, were you interested in any little girls when you were, say, 5 or 6 years old?
5 or 6? Yes, sir, there was one. Pretty little girl, too. Had pigtails on her head.
Now we're getting someplace. Do you remember the little girl's name?
No, sir. You see, I didn't start carrying no address book till I was 9.
Tell me more about this little girl.
Well, of course, that was a long time ago, and I don't remember too much about it.
When you used to meet her and see her, do you remember if you were calm, or were you shy and bashful? Or did you tremble in her presence?
Well, it seems to me I done a little shaken.
Now tell me, were you in love with this little girl?
Me? In love with that little squirt? A little.
I'll make a note of that.
Well, the doctor, this seemed kind of silly, though, talking about when I was a kid, and besides that, it's kind of embarrassing.
Mr. Brown, the practice of psychiatry often seems silly to the layman, but it's these little things that date way back that often have a bearing on their current problems. Now, you take my own case, for instance. Mm-hmm. At one time, I was a very nervous, excitable person. The least thing set me off. Yeah. I went to another psychiatrist to find out the reason for it. I myself was asked seemingly ridiculous questions, but we discovered that, like in 90% of all mental disturbances, it dated back to my childhood. Yes, it all had to do with the grammar school teacher who disliked me intensely.
Oh, sure enough?
Yeah. But now, since I know what the cause of the trouble was, I'm a different man. I'm calm, placid. I don't get excited anymore. I'm always able to control myself. So you see, Mr. Brown.
Clinton's on the phone.
Well, you didn't tell him I was here, did you?
Yes, I did.
Of all the stupidest things I ever... How many times do I have to turn I don't want to talk to him?
But, Doctor...
Don't talk to me! There are a few things I wish you'd get through that thick skull of yours.
But what will I tell him?
Tell him what I told you to!
How long have you been cured, Doctor?
You know, I almost got excited just then.
Yes, you come close to it, all right.
But now, let's get back to your case. Another method we use to analyze mental conflicts is through the interpretation of your dreams. There we delve into the subconscious. Tell me, do you ever dream?
Once in a while. Mostly at night.
Well, for instance, what did you dream last night?
Last night. Oh, yeah, I remember. I dreamed that I met a good-looking gal, and I took her out walking. Oh, she was swell. She told me she was crazy about me, and she wanted me to buy her a diamond wristwatch.
Did you buy it for her?
Oh, sure. I go hog wild in my dreams.
I'm very familiar with the character of that type of dream. Mr. Brown, from what you told me, the thing that's troubling you is very obvious. Yes. You have what we call an economic psychosis. Everything you do or say is motivated by the thought of the almighty dollar, even marriage. The one thing that's kept you from becoming a married man is the fear, not of a woman worming her way into your affections, but of her worming her way into your wallet. Mr. Brown, don't waste your life. You find some nice girl and get married.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Doctor, thank you. I appreciate this advice. And I'll be running along right now.
All right. Goodbye. And I hope you take my advice. Forget the extra money that a wife might cost you. Forget about this money psychosis. Money isn't everything, you know. It's nothing. That door right there. And on the way out, you can pay the nurse.
But, Doctor, how about this money psychosis?
That will leave you as soon as you give the nurse the $5.
Bye. Juliet, my darling, how do it feel to be engaged and have a marriage license already?
Oh, Andy, dear, I'm so thrilled I don't know what to say to think that we're going to get married.
Yes, honey, and we're going to be the happiest little couple in Harlem. Tomorrow we'll go out to the real estate office and see if we can't find ourselves a furnished love nest.
This show is going to be a surprise to everybody. Even Mr. Stephen the Kingfish don't know we're going to get married, does he?
No, no, I ain't told a soul. The Kingfish don't know nothing about it. And he has done asked us to come up to his house tonight. Maybe we'll tell him then.
Listen now, honey. Just take it easy. Now, Andy and Juliet is going to be here any minute. Is you got everything straight?
Well, all I know, George, is what you done explained to me. Me and you is supposed to act like the happiest married couple in Harlem.
Yeah, that's right. Now you got it now. You see, honey, the reason is, Andy, I got to explain this to you so you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Andy ain't quite made up his mind yet. All he needs, I know the boy well, you know, all he needs is just a little more convincing, and then he'll propose marriage to this gal.
Oh, yeah. And you think that by having Andy and the gal here tonight, that's going to do the trick?
Oh, yeah. Ain't no two ways about it. And another thing, this is our only chance to get the $40 balance from the gal. If I can just get Andy to propose to her and marry her, we gets the 40 smackers. Now, all he got to do is to see the beauties of married life, honey, at home.
Say, maybe that's them now.
Yeah, now, don't forget, honey. Be sweet to me, and I'll be sweet to you right back.
Okay, George.
Well, hello there, Juliet. Hello there, brother Andy. Come in.
Hello, Kingfish. Hi there.
Even Mr. Stephen.
Well, Sapphire, sweetheart, the guest has arrived.
Oh, has the angel?
Yes, he is, darling.
Well, hello, Sapphire.
Hello, Andy.
Darling dear, this is Juliet Williams.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Same to you. George, darling, has been told me all about you.
Everything's going all right here, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Me and the little woman here is just up to our ears in love and affection. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yes, Brother Andy, this is married life for you.
Sure is. Let's all go in the parlor.
Yes, honey, come right this way, folks. Angel, darling, will you bring that big comfortable chair over in this part of the room for Andy?
Yes, dear.
Sapphire, can I help you there, sir?
No, thank you, Andy. George, what's the matter with you, helping?
Look now, honey, all I asked you to do was to move the chair over here. I don't want no back talk from you, though. I just...
Kingfish, I want to tell you something. Me and Juliet has got a big surprise for you.
Yeah, well, I'd like to hear that, though. Tell me about it, brother. And what is it?
Where's that thing? Where? Oh, here. Look at there, folks. Look at there. A marriage license.
A marriage license?
Yes, sir.
Me and Annie's going to get married tomorrow. Ain't it wonderful?
Well. Congratulations. Put it there.
Oh, yes. I'm so happy for both of y'all. Congratulations.
Oh, Andy, you have made me the happiest man in the world. Honey, will you please bring that big comfortable chair over here for Andy and his bride?
What's the reason you can't do it?
Now, listen, I done asked you to do it, and I don't want no back talk. Bring the chair over here, sweetheart.
Nothing,
Bob.
Bring it over yourself. I agree with you, Miss
Stephen.
A husband ought to do them things.
Hold it right there, honey. Hold it. Wait a minute. That is strictly a wife's work.
Now, is these the things you expect me to do, Andy, when we's married?
Listen here. My understanding of married life is that the wife is supposed to love, honor, and do the heavy lifting.
Wait, just a minute. Now, wait, everybody calm down. Look, everybody, just kind of take it easy, folks. I just can't afford to have nothing happen to this wedding.
If you expect me to do the work around our love nest, Andrew Hall Brown, I wouldn't marry you if you're the last man on earth.
Ah, that last remark settles it. I don't want to marry you now.
I don't want to marry you neither.
Well, now, wait just a minute, folks. Listen, you can't do this to me.
Mr. Stephen, you can keep the $10 deposit. This is the last time I'll ever try to get a husband through a matrimonial agent.
Hey, what do all this mean?
Well, it means that I was paying Mr. Stevens $50 to get me a husband.
Wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute yourself.
Now, wait, look here.
Yeah, well, that's great. Wait a minute yourself.
Let me explain it
to you.
You see, Anna?
I know I ain't going to marry her now. Don't
look here. You see, Anna, she give me $10 already, but believe me, Andy, I was only doing the whole thing for your happiness, not for the $40 balance.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know I ain't gonna marry at all.
And I feel
that?
The same way about it, too.
Oh, Andy, look here. You sure you don't want to try it? I'll split the $40 with you.
Look here, George. Why don't you mind your own business?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, everybody here. Let me tell Juliet something here.
And you keep your big mouth shut. You ain't nothing but a big bum. And I'm going to get out of here right now, and I never want to see you again.
You can't get out of here too quick for me. And in case you don't know where the door is, come on. I'll open it for you.
You don't have to open it for me. I've been open for you.
Listen to them fight.
Boy, listen to that. Yeah, the way they was going at it, they would have made an ideal married couple.
Join us again next week at this same time for the Amos and Andy Show, at which time Amos and Andy will have as their guest the motion picture comedian Miss Spring Byington. Our program is shortwave to our armed forces overseas, wherever they may be. We want to thank Lionel Barrymore for appearing with us tonight. Mr. Barrymore may be heard in his own radio program, The Mayor of the Town, over another network on each Wednesday evening for Rinso. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for all of us and bidding all of you a pleasant good night.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.